Starting Bezos Hashem, Bava Metzia Daf Membeis, and we'll begin at the Mishnah. Now, there's a Mishnah we had a few days ago. Hamafkin Ma'i Seitzel Chaveray. If a person is mafkid money by his friend, okay, he deposits money by his friend, Tzarim Vishpilon, so now the friend is now a Shamer. So the Shamer goes ahead and he's Tzarim Vishpilon Acherav. He ties him up and he chucks him over his shoulder, okay, meaning it's behind him. Oishem Mastram Lebenoy Lita Ketanim. He gives them to his children who are Ketanim, right? Remember, that was where we brought it in on the Diyuk. Hagadaylim will be okay. Why? Only because it's Benoy. It was Shamer Masal Shamer. Only because built in to when you give something to your shamer, you give it to a shamer to watch, it's understood that they might give it to another responsible party in their household. Okay, but Benoy Bita Ketanim would not be effective because they're Ketanim. Vinal Befenehem Shalei Karai, or if you close the door, and let's say it's an animal or whatever, or in general, you didn't lock the gate, right? So it's money, so you didn't lock the gate and people can come in, Shalei Karai. In any of these situations, you're going to be Chayiv Shalei Shimer Kederek HaShemer, okay, because you didn't watch it properly. Okay, these would be cases of Peshaya. This would not be a case of Einus. All of these, you enabled a Peshayav im Shimer Kederek HaShemer Potter. If you watched it properly, then you'd be Potter. So let's discuss the Gemara. Bishlama kulu shalei shimer keder hashaimim. So I understand giving it to a katan, for instance, not closing the door, for instance, right? El tzarim v'shpil la'achayrav. I put it in my backpack. That would be the best example, right? Put it in our backpack. So my havel el meved. What did he do wrong there? He put it in his backpack. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "Shem Rav Yitzchak v'tzarta kesef biyadcha." That money you should go ahead. And this is talking about when you are poida meiser sheni from the produce onto money, take the money, v'tzarta kesef biyadcha, afal pishet tzruin yiyah biyadcha. So even though they are bound up, meaning it's in a wallet, it should be biyadcha, okay? And it's mashma here that the point is, and we're going to see this in the next couple of members from Rabbi Yitzchak, that the money should be in your hands. We'll see why for regular money, it's a good idea to have the money, quick, that you can quick draw the money, that it's in your hands. But specifically, the Mefarshim of the Rush speaks out over here that it doesn't dafka need to be biyadecha, meaning it needs to at least be, it should have at least been pinned or carried in your front, right? You have to have more like a purse and not like a knapsack, and that's considered a pasheya because you can't watch it. Meaning you're a shomer, your job is to watch it, you have to make sure to watch it, and therefore it needs to be a place where you can see it. If it's behind you, you can't see it. Okay.
Thanks.
And those, no. No.
Who would ever be a shomer over most, if you have to carry around with you all
time? Again, so that's why I think what we're saying, well, again, I think if you're a shomer and you decide to take it out, we'll see there's other ways, meaning the other ways we're going to get to is buried in the ground if you're a shomer, right? But over here, for whatever reason, the guy didn't bury it, so now he has to watch it until he buries it or puts it in a safe place. Now, learn from this pasuk that money should be in your hands. Why? And Rashi explains, because good thing to keep money, more of like a quick draw. Right, because in case you shouldn't give them over to somebody else to hold on to your money. Don't put it in a bank. Right, that's exactly why. Why don't put it in a bank? Why? Because don't put it in a bank. It's a good idea to keep the cash, because if you put the money in a bank and you need the money right away, okay, the bank's closed. Now again, this is more of a cash economy. Okay, so now we have other ways to deal with it. But the point is, you put your $1 million in a bank, and then you get the deal of a lifetime, and now you don't have access to the cash. So keep the money, make sure that you could make it available quickly. If a person should divide his money in third, shlish bekarka, so he should invest, that's the way most mefarshim understand this, that he invest in land, v'shlish bekarka, invest in some sort of business, v'shlish tachas yaldai, right? You got to keep a third of your money liquid. Again, members of Yitzhak in regards to money and success. So, ein habracha mitzuya el b'davar samim ben ayin, something that is hidden from the eye. So, bracha only comes from something that's hidden from the eye. Shenem as the pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itecha es habracha ba'asamecha. Okay, so that is, asamecha is a play on words. Now, the word asamecha means your storehouses. But what we're saying is, asamecha, it's more of like a play on words, according to Yitzchak, is davar asamim ben ayin. Tanu Yishmael, however, learns it more literally. That's the way the Marshal learns that these two versions, ein habracha mitzuya el b'davar she'ein ha ayin shaletes bay, which is almost saying the same thing, right? They're basically saying the same thing. It's a question of, how am I learning the word ba'asamecha? According to Rabbi Yitzchak, ba'asamecha is a play on words. Even though it really means storehouses, Yitzav Hashem itcha es habracha ba'asamecha sounds like somoy min ha'ayin, meaning hidden. According to Tanu Rabbi Yishmael, that no, that it's actually the word, meaning your storehouse is a place where people can't see, right? It's behind lock and key. They can't exactly see what's there. And therefore, Shanema Yitzhav Hashem Itchas HaBracha Ba'asamecha. Okay, so same idea, both conveying the same point, but maybe learning it. Mashmaz Darshan Ege Benayu. Tan Rabbanan. Ha'elech Lamar as Garnai. If a person goes to measure his Garen, in other words, he's going to figure out yield, how much did I get? Aymer. So you make this bracha that you should send bracha b'maisi yadenu, this yihi ratzon. Hischel lamad, and so again, first he makes a yihi ratzon, and then hischel lamad, he starts to measure. Now the Rishonim speak out that we're dealing with here, that we're talking about trumas and maisers. The person is lamad, trumas and maisers, okay, and that's when this bracha would apply. Yotzon l'fanecha Hashem l'kinu shetishlach bracha b'maisi yadenu. Hischel lamad, oimer baruch ha-shaleach bracha b'kri hazeh. Okay, so... and therefore, the place can bring down that in today's day and age, you would not make this bracha, certainly not with the shame of Hashem, because this was specific to Trumas and Maisers. But let's say Madad, let's say you measured, you counted, then you made the bracha. How is it Tefillah Shav? That would be a Tefillah Shav. Again, it's already too late. You've already counted it. So you're not going to have bracha, right? Like we said, in a bracha, Matzah Lodomina Samamina Ayin, so you have to make the bracha. You have to make the bracha to have bracha, right? You make the hiratzon, or the bracha, the wish, the request, the she'ela to have the bracha would have to be before you counted it. Once you counted it, it's already too late because ein habracha matzah ela v'davar sam mina ayin. L'fish ein habracha matzuy ela v'davar shakol, not with something that is weighed, v'loy v'davar hamadot, something that's measured, v'loy v'davar hamana, counted, okay, different ways of counting things, ela v'davar sam mina ayin. Sh'nemar, yitzav Hashem etchas habracha ba'asamecha. Amar Shmuel. Okay, so let's get back to our sugya. How do you properly guard money? So Shmuel says, "Ksafim elam shmira ela bekarka." The way, right, to your point, Sender, right, exactly. So what am I supposed to do with the money if it's a begadon? So the answer is you're supposed to bury it in the ground. Amar Rava umayri Shmuel umaydi Shmuel be'erev Shabbos. Shmuel will agree on erev Shabbos bein ashmashus le'etrichu rabbanon. So if he receives the money as a begadon erev Shabbos, he doesn't have to go get a shovel and start an Erev Shabbos digging up the ground to make sure to properly guard this money. However, v'imshah, so Matzei Shabbos, he must do it immediately. V'imshah, the Matzei Shabbos, shir, l'mikberinu v'lay kavrinu. If he waited the amount of time after Shabbos was over, the amount of time it would have taken to make a hole and bury this money, and he didn't do it, then mechayiv, he's going to be chayiv. V'itzur m'rabbanon hu, if, let's say, the guy's a Talmud Chacham, somewhat situational. Savar dimu mibayi le'zuzei la'abdalta. In other words, if the reason why he didn't bury it because he figured the guy needed the money. The Hainu, what's an example of this, is a Tzurim Rabbanon, might have needed the money to make Havdalah, because a Tzurim Rabbanon would be very machmer to make the Havdalah because. And therefore, he made a cheshbon saying that the guy deposited the money, maybe he needs it immediately, and therefore I'm not going to bury it. So in that case, okay, that would be okay. Okay, so again, Shmuel is saying, what's the proper way to deal with money? The way you deal with money is you bury it in the ground. However, this doesn't work today, and today's in the Gemara's today's. The shchichi gishushi, you have probers, right? Gishushim are probes. So they stick sticks in the ground or poles in the ground to see if there's any holes. Ein lohem shmira el b'shmei kaira. So can't put it in the ground. Rather, you have to put it up in the attic, in the ceiling. But any the shchichi prumai, okay, and then you have ceiling destroyers. Okay, so they're going to go and they're going to break the kairos looking for money. Ein lohem shmira ela b'nei urvi. So you got to put it between the bricks. Amarava. Umay de Shmuel bekaisel, that if you put it in the wall, you hide it in the wall, it's going to be okay. But now, the inna, it's still not okay. The shchichi tefuchai, you have wall knockers, right? People that like knock things against the wall to hear if there's hollow in the wall, and then they know that there's money in there. Elam shmira la betefach hasamach lekarka, so you actually have to put it in tefach samach lekarka, ay betefach hasamach leshmei kaira. Okay, so again, if it's a place, right, I guess it's somewhat based on the inventions and how the ganavim keep up with the times, but you got to put it in a way that's safe. Okay, Amar le Rav Acha bereder Rav Yosef. Huh? Again, if it's a shomer chinam, no, we're talking about the Gemara is going to get into shomer sachar. Really, is what we're referring to. Okay, again, so if in the case of the reisha, you're more of a pesheya. In the cases here, it's a question of, and that's really a question. It's a question. Okay, if we say we're talking about a shomer chinam, then the question becomes, and I wanted to get into this, but in a few lines, question becomes, at what point would a shomer sachar be patur and einzin at all? Let's say the shomer sachar dug it 100 amas into the ground, right? If you're shomer sachar, we know that a shomer sachar is chayav on gnei v'aveda. But again, here we're talking about what's considered an effective shmira. So this would be applicable, even the Mishnah would certainly be applicable to a shomer chinam, right? Because what we're saying is this is not considered proper shmira. and this would you would now be a pesheya, and you'd be chayiv even as a shomer chinam. So now Amar Ravacha Bredi Rav Yosef Ravashi Hasam Tanan. Again, we're trying to deal with. So again, we know that burying would be okay, if not for the fact the shchichi the shushi. So the Mishnah says, and the question is on the tzad that you're going to be burying it. Hasam Tanan Chametz Enafal of Mapoiles. If you have chametz and a Mapoilus falls on it, right? You have a collapse. Harehu kimavur, as far as we're concerned, it's destroyed, right? For your bal yirat, purposes. Shem Gamliel Oimer Kol She'ein Hakelav Yachol Lachapes Acharav. Now, what is the amount of collapse that you need on top of this chametz in order for to be considered destroyed? If a dog is not going to search in there and try to remove and get the chametz, v'tana kama chfishas kelav, how deep is a chafishas kelev? How long? How far down will a kelev be able to search? Gimel tvachim. Hachamai. So the question is, what about over here? Miba inan shlisha tvachim. Do you need? In other words, is that the same shear that I would need for the money to be considered properly buried in the ground? Do I need shlisha tvachim? Amarle hasam mishem recha. Now there, it's because of the smell. Meaning the point of the dog. It's not a question of how far deep the dog can dig, but rather it's how far can he smell. And therefore, the purpose here is to make sure the money is not visually, right? In other words, what we're saying is, if he sticks it in the ground, for sure, if he sticks it in the ground, and as long as it's covered, that means no one can actually see it, so then it's going to be okay. Again, if you don't have the concern of gishushi, okay? But again, that would be considered proper storage. All you would need is a tefach, right? So I said, the question is, and Tosfos addresses this here, what happens by a shomer sachar? Okay, what happens if a shomer sachar went ahead and stuck it 100 amas in underground, or he says, okay, so the question is, in any of these cases, is there a concept of einus by shomer sachar, and where does that concept apply specifically in regards to burying money? And really, there's two points Tosfos is making. Number one, what happens if it's an einus with the money, meaning you buried it properly, I did what I was supposed to do, and then the guy dug up 100 amas? Or what about for the shomer himself? What happens if an einus should befall him? He gets ill or whatever it is. So Tosfos actually comes and says that you're going to be potter ba'einsin. Okay, again, as long as you, for instance, Nal Bedeles, you close the door, you put it behind a door that can stand any sort of wind. Okay, meaning, so again, it was properly guarded, and then an oinus happens to the item, you're going to be putter. Okay, and again, like we said, that would apply if you buried it 100 amas deep, or takva chayli. Okay, and again, we know that there's a concept of oinus by shomer sachar, even by shomer sachar, because there's a case of listed mezuyin. Right, an armed robber that goes and holds him up, so then he would definitely be considered einus in that case. Other Rishonim, though, they weigh in, and they say it's not so simple. The Ramban holds that you have to watch it, like Yaakov Avinu watched it, right? The pasuk, what was his tiny 11? Ayisi v'yama chalani chayriv v'kerach balayla, right? That he mamish stood there watching it, okay? And therefore, the only something like Lista Mizuyin, where you were there, you were present, but someone held you up, and there was nothing you could do about it, so then that would be a case. But digging it under the ground, where you left it, you weren't present there, you weren't actively watching it, there you would be chayiv, says the Ramban, so he would argue on Tosfos in that, okay, and, okay, it's only be in a situation where you were there, you were present, but you were unable to save it. And the Rashba also weighs in, and he says it makes a difference where the einus was. If the einus is Begufai, meaning he fell asleep, or he was captured, or he got ill, so then he is going to be chayiv. But an einus on the guf of the pekadon, so it would seem to hold, for instance, like an einus to the guf of the pekadon, so maybe according to him, if he buried it 100 amas deep, that is something, meaning so we have to separate the person as a shomer, something happening to the person versus something happening to the object. Tosfos seems to hold, like I said, in our sugya, that in all cases of einus, so whether the einus is on the guf of the chayfetz or the einus is on the guf of the shomer, you'd be potter, and that would be like list of mizuyin. So now, hahu gavra, the afkid zuze gabe chavre. A person went ahead and he deposited money, he gave it to his friend, izvinu bitzrifa de urmini. The friend, the shomer, put it in a hut house. Okay, again, some sort of hut. ignav and it got stolen. Amar Rav Yosef, afal gavdil inyan gavini tirusa hi. Yes, you did a proper shmira in regards to it getting stolen. However, these tent houses or hut houses are very flammable. Inyan nurap shiusahi. In regards to protecting it from fire, from getting it consumed by fire and getting ruined that way, that would be considered pshia. Have tchilasa b'pshia b'sefer ba'ainis. This is ground zero for the sugya of tchilasa b'pshia b'sefer ba'ainis. Okay, and therefore you are going to be chayiv. Ikadami afgav del inyan nurap shiusahi. Even though the inyan fire, like we said, it's a pshia. It is effectively guarded. Okay, so it's a flammable house, but one that is secure. So, and therefore, tchilasa b'pshia b'sefer ba'ainis potter. And this would be the two shinus is tchilasa b'pshia b'sefer ba'ainis chayiv or potter. Either way, the Gemara says v'helchasa tchilasa b'pshia b'sefer ba'ainis is going to be chayiv. Okay, so that is case number one. Let's move on. Ahu gavra da'af
gedzuzi. The money was stolen. It wasn't.
Exactly. So
the
it's
fire had nothing to do with
the tchilasa bipshia because you put it in a place where it could have gotten burned. Seifa ba'inis, it got stolen. Okay, that's the case. Ahu gavra da afkid zuze gabe chavre. A person deposited money by his friend. Amar lei havli zuzoi. In this case, we've had before. He said, "Hi, I'd like my money back." Amar lei lo yadana hecha isvenu. I don't know where it is. Also kamei de rabba. Amar lei. Guess what? That is even shemer chinam. That is a pshiusa. Kola yadana pshiusa hi zil shlim. Right. Remember, we brought this in daf lamed hey. The case about a week ago we discussed over there that he had the kipi, right? He left the kipi, and then the kipi went up in value. And even though the guy couldn't come up with the kipi pshiusa hi, we went ahead and we took his apad nomine. And then the question was, can you go back shuma hader or not? That was that suya. Hu gavra da afkid zuzi gabe chavre. So a person went ahead and he accepted, right? He gave money over to Shemer. And Ashlamin uli ime. So he, the son, well, or the Shemer, went ahead and gave it to his mother. Ashlamin uli ime. Vizvinu bekar tlisa. She put it in a chest, okay? Ve'ignav, and it got stolen, okay? And it's just, so the Shemer gave it to his mother, Amar Rava, hainu ni dainu, daini lahaidina. How are we going to don this case? Meaning, what's the problem? Name Ladidei Zil Shlim. If we tell the Shamer, the son, hey, you gave it to your mother, you shouldn't have done that. It's your responsibility to pay. It's not true, because like our mission says, Kol Mafkid al das ishtayu banav hu mafkid, right? Like we said, it was only Benoy u Bitai Hakatanim that's a problem. But Benoy Bitai Gedailim, that would be considered effective Shamer. Why? Because it's built in. It's in Umdana, right? We know that when a person hands it over to a Shamer, that it's included in that Shmira would be anybody who is in his, you know, in his house, that he can pass it on to them. And over here, he passed it on to his mother. So that would be that wouldn't be considered a problem with the Shmira to say he should now be chayiv on Einzin. Kol ha-mafkid, al-das ishto yubanav ha-mafkid. Name alele ime. We should go to the mother, zil shlimu. Maybe you should pay. Amra, so she said, hold on 1 second. Loi amar li delav didei ninhu dak berinu. She never told me, he never told me, my son never told me that they're not his money. As far as I was concerned, it was his money. So why should I pay the Shmira? Okay, I never accepted a Shmira over here. Nobody ever told me that this was money that belonged to a third party, that was somebody else's. So, therefore, we go back to the Shemir, and we say, Neimalei, we tell the Shemir, the one who accepted the Shemir, Amai loy amrit la amar. Amai loy amrit la. Right? Why didn't you tell your mother? And that, if you would have told your mother, then maybe this wouldn't have happened. So again, we're trying to maybe say that we should pin it on the Shemir, and he should be chayiv. So Amar kol shekein. No, he said there was a cheshbon. The reason I didn't tell my mother was kol shekein d'chiamina la tidininhu tfei mizdara bahu. Because if I let her think that they were mine, or I told her they were mine, but the point is I didn't tell her they belonged to somebody else, she's going to be much more careful. And the mother's going to do whatever she can to protect her son over anybody else, and her son's money also. Okay, and therefore, the Shemer saying there was a cheshbon why I didn't tell my mother. Okay, and therefore, in this case,
Taka, why wouldn't the mother be chayv? Why isn't she considered a Shemer who didn't do a proper shira of her? As far as she's concerned, the mafkid is her son.
Yeah, you have to, there's a lot of raid on exactly working out the technical. So the way, if you, on a simplistic level, it's a question of, is this considered, so we said, it's not considered a shemer shemosel, a shemer. Right? It's not considered a shemer shemosel, which would open it up to be chayiv in an einsin situation. Okay? And in general, if it was the son's money, so again, if it was the son's money, then, I mean, that's not what we're donning on here. The question is, would she be chayiv to her son's money? Then we'd have to don, is this an einsin or a shia? Okay, but the point is, in this case, it's a question of It's in this case. In this case, it's a question of since she didn't accept the responsibility of the shmirah, right? So Amar Kol Elo Amar Rava Mishtaba Ihu Dehanu Zuzi Ashlaminu Leime. So first, the shomer has to say that he gave it over to his mother, which would not be an impingement on his shmirah. Like we said, it's part of B'nai Beis, so it's included in. Umishtaba ime dahanu zuzi isvinu bekartalisa. She has to go ahead and swear that she put it in this chest, the ignite, meaning that it was taka, was geneva, it was stolen from her. And then upater, okay, so she's going to be pater, meaning both of them essentially have to swear, and they would both be pater. Hu apatrapya. The Yasmi. We have some interesting stories. This is, again, a lot of technical details in these stories that open up a lot in the sugya. Who apatropia? The Yasmi. So you have an apatropos of the Yisaimim. So he is an appointed to guard, be a guardian over the Yisaimim's estate. The Zavan Lahutura, the Yasmi. So he bought to invest their money, he bought a cow for the Yisaimim. Umasre la Bakre. And he gave it to a Raya. Bakra is a shepherd. Okay, so he gave it to a shepherd to watch over. Now, loy havale kichi vishini. It turns out that the shard that the apotropos bought didn't have any teeth, and therefore was unable loy havale kichi vishini lamechol. It was unable to eat, and guess what happened? Umisa died. Amar bar chama. So the question is, what do we do over here? Heichen aydinu daini lahaydina. What should we paskin over here? Namely, la apotropia zil shlim. So if we tell the apotropos to go pay Amar anola bakra masarte. Right, I gave it over to the Bakra, the shepherd, and the shepherd in this case is a Shomer Sachar. Okay, meaning the apotropos is the din of a Shomer Chinam. He's saying the Shomer Sachar, the cow became his responsibility. He's going to be chayiv to make sure that the animal will be in fit shape, and he should have inspected it and realized that there was no teeth, and we could have done something about it then. Namely, the Bakra Zil Shlim. Right, go tell the Bakra, the Roya, who's the Shomer Sachar here, that he should pay. Amar. So he's saying the shomer, and now so we go to the shepherd, and he says, "Anaba haditura ukimte. I left it with my other animals. Ukimte uchle shadayle, and just like all the animals, it came for supper time, and I put food. But I did my responsibility. I fed. I put food in front of the animals, which is what we normally do, right? And I didn't know that it wasn't going to eat. I didn't know that it didn't have any teeth. Nobody informed me it didn't have any teeth." So now, the Gemara says, hold on one second. Michti, Bakra, Shomer Sachar, di Yasmihu. So the Bakra, he's the Shomer Sachar, and therefore he should be chayiv. You buy the Liyuna, he should have checked, and he should be chayiv to the assignment. So, so the question is, what's...
Why are we assuming the apotropos is not being paid?
An apotropos is not paid. Generally, the general understanding of an apotropos is not paid. Now, there are different types. This goes through different types of Bava Kama, and there's more in Gittin, okay? But we're talking about this type of apotropos. We're talking about who's a Shomer Chinam, just so we establish that case. Okay, so the Gemara says, Yikup seded the Yasmi hachanami. Now, hold on one second. You're right. If it's the Yosemim tining to the Roya, who is the Shomer Sachar over here, you're right. Then the Roya would have to pay. He's a Shomer Sachar. He's going to be responsible. Bachamayaskina, we're talking about the Lekup seded the Yasmi. Okay, that the Yisraelim aren't out any money. How is this possible? Dashkechu lamari detura, because they found the seller v'shakol yasmi zuzi minei. Okay, because essentially it was a mekach tais, right? Lamaisa, the animal didn't have any teeth, right? So there's a lot to unpack here as far as the technical details. But suffice it to say, the apotropos who purchased the animal on behalf of the Yisraelim and then deposited it with the roya, so this was definitely back when he bought the animal, that would have been a mekach tais. So then the question is, okay, who's tining money that we now have to don? Rami Bar Chama is trying to don on this. Elaman Kantayin, who is asking for money? Mari Datura Kantayin. So it's actually the seller who went ahead and paid the assignment because that was a Mekach Tais, so I'm going to do mine. Now, right, we call this in the insurance, can I subrogate the claim? Right, meaning he had to, from a Mekach Tais perspective, he had to go ahead and pay the assignment. So now can he find somebody else to subrogate, to pin it on, and get that responsibility? So like this. So who Elaman Kantayin, Mari Deture Kantayin, Ibayale Luduyan. So first he goes to the apotropos saying, hey, you should have let me know. So the Gemara says, hold on one second. In general, who is responsibility to know that there's something wrong with the goods? It should really be the seller, right? You should know that what you're selling is good stuff. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about the seller of the animal is a safsira. He's a trader, right? Which means, again, like you buy a car at auction, it's not up to the auctioneer that you're buying at an auction to know what the status of that car is, meaning they're in the business of taking stuff in and stuff out. It's the responsibility of the buyer to make sure you're not getting, sounds like you've been burned on this, but it's the responsibility of the buyer to make sure that you're not getting a lemon. The zavin mehacha, mezavin lahacha. Okay, so like this. Now, the seller, since Lamaisa was a mekach tais over here, so it's not exactly the same, since Lamaisa was a mekach tais, so he gave the Yisraelim back their money. Now he's trying to figure out, like, hey, the buyer, the guy who bought it on behalf, because then we're dealing with Yisraelim, always a little bit of a risky proposition, right? But now he's trying to, so the question is the apotropis. Now, Hilkach, so we say, now, Lamaisa, the apotropis, like we said, and this is, seems to be a part that disappears from the Gemara, we entertain that it should be the apotropis. Now, if the apotropis, we entertained it, and we're really falling off it, because at the end of the day, the apotropis is a shomer chinam, so he's not responsible. So who could we possibly pin it on? It would be back to the shomer sachar, who was the bakra. Hilkach mishtaba ihu, and the way Rashi explains the sugya is we're really invoking, if you remember, the case on the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hay, where the Mishnah said, Lamed Hay Amad Beis, the Mishnah said, Hamafgid, was the second Hamafgid, okay, that haseicher para, okay, that if you rented a para and then lent it out. Okay, so if you remember that case where we paskin, Rashi says we paskin like Rav Yosi. See, the case was the Mishnah on Lamed Hay Amud Beis, Haseicher Per Mechaber Veshilo La'acher, Umesa Kedarka, Yeshava Haseicher Shemesa Kedarka. Rav Yosi said, Ketzal Alei Sescheri Perasa Shel Chaver, right? So you have a situation where you have a third party. Essentially, the owner of the cow rented it out to somebody else. According to Rav Yosi, if the renter lends it out to somebody else, now it mesa kedarka, which would be a patur when it comes to renting, but a chiyav when it comes to she'ela. So Rav Yosi holds that the bialim can step into the shoes of the renter and make that claim on his behalf. And really, if you, what Rami Bar Chama is donning here is, can we also say, since we paskin like Rav Yosi, that you can step into the shoes of the claimant, okay, can the seller of the cow, who ended up paying the assignment, by paying the assignment, can he step in to the claim of the assignment? And essentially, just like the assignment could have been tevea the money from the shomer sachar, who is the shepherd over here. So can the seller of the animal, because he paid the assignment, can he step in? Now, the Taisa goes through, it's not exactly the same, and that's why it was a Shiloh, that it's not exactly the same. Over there, he was the owner of the cow and he rented it out. Over here, all he did was pay the Yisayimim. He was never the person in the position to be making the claim. So the question is by the fact that he paid the Yisayimim, can he now step in and claim money from the Bakra? So says the Gemara, what happens? Hilkach mishtaba ihu. Rami Bar Chama says that yes, he can, but it's limited. Meaning, mishtaba ihu, he, the safsira, the seller, the guy who put out the money, who's actually claiming the money, makes a shvua deloy hava yada, that he didn't know that the animal had no teeth. Umishalim bakra demei basar bazol. And yes, we will hold the shepherd responsible, but he's going to pay the lower amount of money. Now, demei basar bazol, the way Rashi explains it over here, is he says that it's a form of pshara. In other words, since Lamaisa, the shepherd, was a shomer sachar, but he wasn't a pshiyas like kol kach, so therefore we'll say pay d'mei basar bazol, which generally means a discount of 33%. We had this before, okay? So it means he's going to get a third off, and that essentially, according to Rashi, functions as a pshara. Now, the person who's taking the money is going to swear, and the Mefarshim explain why, because we say kol hanoitlin nishbain v'noitlin. Okay, meaning in order to take the money, you would swear and take the money. Okay, and if you want to take the money, so we're going to milchayv. Where will we be pinning a shvua on? We're going to pin a shvua on the person who wants to get paid. Okay, so that's the way Rashi explains it. That it's essentially a form of a pshara because yes, the raya is going to be chayiv, but he's not totally chayiv because he wasn't a full pashaya. However, Tosfos says that it's more of a practical din. Meaning, go back in time. Why is the seller over here only getting from the shomer sachar the raya d'mei basar bazol discounted? Because what's the d'mei basar bazol? D'mei basar bazol means that when you're forced to sell it today and you can't wait for the optimal time, right? What's the best time to sell meat? On the market day, right? Right before Yontif, right? That's when there's the most, you'll get the highest price for it. So d'mei basar bazol means the lowest price, a 33% discount, meaning off market times or not market day. Now, Says Tesis that this is more of a practical, it's not a pshara, this is practical. Meaning, let's go back in time. If, let's say, the seller of this animal would have been told, when he was still holding, before this whole thing happened, let's say the apotropis was a very astute apotropis, and he came to the sefser and said, I want to buy this cow. He's okay, you know, inspect it, and he sees that it has no teeth. And he tells the seller, hey, it has no teeth. What's the seller going to do? He's going to have to shech that animal and sell it to Mebasser Bazil right at that time, because that animal will not live. It cannot eat, and therefore it will not live. So the Mebasser Bazil, according to Tesis, is not a pshara. Rashi holds it as a pshara, because he's not such a pashaya, but rather it's a practical reality. We can go back and say that if he would have been made aware that his animal had no teeth, then he would have sold it to Mebasser Bazil. It's all he would have recognized anyway, so therefore that's all we can hit the... That's all we can hit the raya up for. Now, let's one more story. Hahu gavra da afkid kshusa gabe chavre. So a person left hops. Okay, hops in the use of beer making. Okay, havale lide nami kari de kshusa. But he also had his own heap, his own pile of hops. So amale lasarse. So he told his worker, mehai rami, take from this one. Meaning, he was saying, take from mine. When you go ahead and you make beer, make the next batch, take it from mine. Azal rama me'idach. So he took it from the other one. He took it from the person, the mafkid. Amr, the mafkid's pile. Amr of Amr hechen adinu dino lahadina. Right? So what should we do over here? Okay, how are we going to paskin this did? Name l'didei zil shlem. So if we tell the shomer, the person who accepted it to go pay, amar ano amri lemehai rami. What do you mean? I told my employee. This is not on me. This is on the employee. I told him to take from my stuff, and he took from the other stuff. Name l'sar se zil shlem amar le mehai rami mehai le tirmi. He never told me not to take from the other ones. Meaning, and the way Tosfos explains it is like this. When we're dealing with two different minim, if we're dealing with kshus and something else, so then it would be understood. If I told him take from this, it would automatically mean don't take from that. But just because if it's the same min and I say take from there, it doesn't necessarily mean don't take from those. It's the exact same min. So the Sar says taking from the other one. So the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. If these piles are far apart, so we can tell by the amount of time, let's say the Bilem were there, and let's see how much time it took for the worker to go get the hops. If it took him the amount of time to get the ones that he wasn't supposed to take from, and the Bilem knew about it, so then it's like he gave an approval, and therefore the Bilem should be chay. The Idisha Shir La Suyele, Veloy Isile, he gave him the appropriate amount of time for what would have been appropriate to take from his and not from the other ones. Golia Daita Denichale. And it took longer to get from the ones that he was the shamer on, and he gave his okay on it, right, because he was sitting there, then it should be his problem. So the Gemara says, Deloishas, Deloishah. Okay, there is no time difference. Okay, essentially, what the Gemara is saying, the way Rashi explains it, is that these two piles were very close to each other. And we can't tell from the timing of it that just because the Bilem saw him take hops, the Bilem didn't know based on the timing it took to retrieve the hops and go ahead and put it and to make the beer and to make the shecher, so they wouldn't know. So the Gemara says, okay, safe, my pseideika. Says, I don't understand. What are we pottering the mafgid from? The nifgad, sorry. What are we pottering the shomer from? At the end of the day, so he used this pile, so he should have to pay because he used the guy's stuff and he got challah, he got bear. So what's the, I'm sorry, he got shecher, he got bear. So what's the problem? My pseideika, v'alka mishtar shile, l'maisa, he got benefit. And if I got benefit, then I should pay the benefit that I got. Right? So why is it a problem pinning it on the shomer? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Sama Berei de Rava to have a shechra chala," because it turned out that he actually ended up with vinegar. He didn't turn up with shechar. Okay, what happened was the hops that he used, the other hops that he used, he didn't get the benefit. Meaning, what we're trying to say is the mafgid should pay because he got the benefit. He didn't get the benefit because the shechar didn't pan out. He used the wrong hops, and it turned into chala, turned into vinegar, and that's why we're saying he should be putter. Rav Ashi Amar Bikisi. We're talking about that the Mafgid's hops, his kshus, were bad. They had thorns in them, and therefore he ended up with thorny shechar, right? Which didn't have a lot of value. Umishanli to make kisi. So the Gemara says that in that case, you pay the thorny kshus, right? The one that produces bad shechar in that case. So it sounds like based on these two answers, if it had turned, so since the hops you used belonged to somebody else. But they turned and I didn't get any benefit and none of us are at fault, right? Because again, it's a little bit of a misunderstanding. So in this case, right, the Sarsa used the wrong one. So again, he would only have to pay the benefit of what he got out of these. That's essentially because you used the wrong one. Pay the benefit. Mishtar, she paid the benefit you got. So if it turned into chalos, so they didn't get any benefit out of the kshas. But according to Rav Ashi, that if we're talking about where it's storing ones, so then the shomer would have to pay the benefit he got, which was at least he got, the Rashi says, to make shus so kaitzim lifi mashe ishbiach. So he would have to pay based on what he actually was mashbiach, okay, and not based on what the actual loss incurred was. We'll stop here.